Hey everyone, I'm your host Chris Gasper. Welcome to Season Ticket for Friday, January 26th. We continue our Behind Enemy Lines series for you today, and we go behind enemy lines for Super Bowl 52. And that means we bring in Zach Berman, Eagles reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. Zach, thanks for joining us here on Season Ticket.
Thanks for having me on.
So the first question I have for you, when I look at the Eagles, wire to wire, they've been the best team in the NFC at 13-3. But they were a team coming off back-to-back 7-9 seasons, including Doug Peterson's first season as coach. What changed this year, besides the personnel, obviously, to put the Eagles in this position and have them playing in a Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, I think the big thing from a macro perspective was the development of Carson Wentz, you know, and he's the franchise quarterback. They made a significant investment in the 2016 draft in terms of trades to go up and get him. And yeah, he started as a rookie and just had rapid development in his second year. And for 3 months there, he was, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, one of the top two or three. And then in addition to Carson Wentz, they really hit on a series of off-season moves. And the most high-profile one was signing Alshon Jeffrey to be their number one receiver. But even a lot of the under-the-radar moves, signing Chris Long, the former Patriot, who's been real valuable as a reserve defensive end for them, rotational defensive end, signing Patrick Robinson to be, you know, ultimately their slot cornerback, like Garrett Blunt, the former Patriot, was a very low-cost contract, comes in and helps the backfield. And, you know, they trade for Ronald Darby during the preseason. They trade for Jay Ajayi during the season. They traded for Tim Jernigan during the offseason. Just if you look at the roster moves that they made from March really through December, they hit on a larger percentage of them than I've seen in my 6 years covering the team. And that's been a big reason for their turnaround.
Yeah, and you mentioned Carson Wentz there. Obviously, he's out with the ACL. He won't play in this game. Nick Foles has taken over. And I think a lot of people doubted Nick Foles. I'll say honestly, I was one of them. I didn't love the Eagles' chances in the NFC playoffs with Nick Foles at the controls, but he's been really good through the two playoff games that the Eagles have played to get to Super Bowl 52, completing 77.8% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. How would you evaluate his play, Zach, in the playoffs? And what are some of the things that Doug Peterson, offensive coordinator Frank Reich, quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo are doing to get the most out of Nick Foles?
Well, Nick's a high variance quarterback. So he's capable of the outstanding and he's capable of really ugly games. And frankly, I think the biggest issue with Nick Foles is the inconsistency. You know, you saw on Christmas night, they had a Monday night game against the Raiders and he played a bad game. And then you saw him in the NFC Championship game against the Vikings, and literally, I don't think Carson Wentz would have played a better game that night. That's how well Nick Foles played. You know, he's a former Pro Bowl quarterback. You know, I covered him when he had that magical 2013 season, and you know, I was there in Oakland when he threw 7 touchdowns. So you're talking about a talented player, but just there's too much inconsistency there. And I think that was why there was some skepticism going into the postseason, especially because of the way he finished the year. But the real underrated thing in terms of the way he's playing is that Nick Foles did not have a training camp or preseason with the team for the most part. He was injured. He had an injured elbow, you know, so he was the backup throughout the year. And he steps in December and really hadn't taken first-team reps. During the 2 weeks before the Eagles' first playoff game, it was almost like a training camp. I mean, they had padded practices. They had intense practices. And I think you've seen a considerable difference since then. As to the second part of the question, what's Doug Peterson doing? Doug's a good play caller, but they're really introducing or using some concepts that work well for Foles, whether it is the quick passing game. You're seeing the RPOs, the run-pass options, which help him out. So there's a lot there that is helping him with the play calling. But credit goes to Foles. He's making throws and making plays during the playoffs that he wasn't making in the last two games of the season.
Yeah, it's interesting in looking at the Eagles' offense. And what I want to ask you, because you've seen it all year, I just looked at it a little bit in the NFC Championship game, and it reminded me a lot of the Kansas City Chiefs' offense. And obviously Doug Peterson was offensive coordinator for Andy Reid, former Eagles coach, now the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And what I saw was a lot of misdirection, a lot of motion. You mentioned the RPOs, those run-pass option plays. Is that pretty much what the offense was all year with Wentz, or have they amped that up to make it easier for Foles?
It's a lot of similarities to what they did with Wentz. Now, they have made a lot of adjustments. The big thing is with Wentz, you have more mobility than you do with Foles. You're not going to have Foles extend plays as often. So I think there's quicker throws, quicker reads, quicker drops, and a lot of it is similar to what you see in Kansas City.
Let me just sort of put you on the spot a little bit here and just cut to the chase. I mean, can the Eagles win this game? Can they win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles at quarterback? There are teams that have won with lesser quarterbacks. I think of Trent Dilfer, even Brad Johnson. So it's not unprecedented. But I think when I look at these teams on paper, Zach, if you take the reputations out of it, I think they're actually pretty even, except for it's Nick Foles at quarterback instead of Carson Wentz. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, there's no way Nick Foles beats the Patriots in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say Nick Foles doesn't necessarily need to beat the Patriots. It's the Eagles' offensive line and the Eagles' defensive line that's going to be the key. And the Patriots, obviously, 5 Super Bowls, Tom Brady, best quarterback ever. There's no denying the quarterback edge in this game. But in the 2 Super Bowls that the Patriots lost, it was because of, you know, a 4-man pass rush for the most part. And, you know, the Eagles are built around their 4-man pass rush. And frankly, if you look back to the Falcons game on a different level, Matt Ryan's not Tom Brady, but that same conversation took place is that can Nick Foles beat Matt Ryan? And what happened in that game was the Eagles defense beat Matt Ryan. And it's going to be hard for them to win. But if the Eagles were to win, I don't think it's because Nick Foles outplays Tom Brady. I think it's because the Eagles' defensive line wins at the line of scrimmage, and the Eagles' offensive line gives Foles enough time and really gets the running game going.
I know Patriots coach Bill Belichick certainly has a lot of respect for the Eagles' defensive line.
Bill, just wondering about the Eagles' front four and what makes them such a unique group. Is it the depth of that group?
Yeah, it's a lot more than 4. I wish it was just 4. That's it's about 8, 9.
And when you look at that defensive line, Zach, the biggest thing I think about it is the depth. They can just sort of come at you in waves. I was a little surprised when I looked at the sack numbers that they weren't higher because the talent is outstanding. But obviously, as we all know, it's not all about sacks. It's about pressure and can you generate pressure. And has that been sort of the best part of this Eagles defense? Because I know they also revamped the secondary as well.
Yeah, that has been the best part of the defense. And the defense is built around that line and 8 deep there, really 7 core guys. And when you look at the backup ends, Chris Long and Derek Barnett, they're starting caliber players in this league. And I agree with you in terms of sack numbers. I'm not belittling the importance of sacks, but the play that really changed the game in the NFC Championship game was Chris Long getting pressure on Case Keenum being forced into a throw that Patrick Robinson intercepts and returns for a touchdown.
Keenum throws, he's picked! Patrick Robinson back the other way. Looking for a block. Gets it! Robinson for the touchdown!
That doesn't show up on the stat sheet as a sack for Chris Long, but that play was made by Chris Long's pressure. So I think one of the reasons why the sack numbers aren't as high as you would think with the talent they have on the line is a lot of teams, especially in the middle of the year, really relied on a quick passing game against the Eagles. And the Eagles worked that to their favor in that they were forcing teams to try to go on, you know, 12, 14 play drives to beat them as opposed to relying on big plays.
When you look at the Eagles' defense, they've been on a hot streak here. You wrote this, that they're a confident group. They've kept opponents to 8.25 points per game over their past 4 games. This stat stood out to me, Zach. They haven't allowed more than 10 points in a game during that span. That being said, they're facing Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, and we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars held Brady down to 10 points through 3-plus quarters, but then when the money was on the table, he marched down and scored 2 touchdowns. What's the level of confidence that Jim Schwartz and Malcolm Jenkins, veteran leader of that Eagles defense at safety, that they have, that they actually can slow down the Patriots for 60 minutes, 4 quarters?
Yeah, they're a confident group, and you know, rightfully so in terms of the way they played this year and the way they played these past four games. I should say these past four games, though, have all been at home. The Eagles are considerably better at home than on the road on defense. 11 points per game difference there. But, I mean, they have a world of respect for Tom Brady. There's really no way around that. Obviously, they're confident, but I think what you said in the question is a real good way of phrasing it. It's playing 60 minutes, and that's something that in that locker room I've heard, you know, the Super Bowl last year is fresh in everyone's mind. They come back against the Jaguars last week, fresh in everyone's mind. The Patriots are a team you never have them down, you never have them out. The Eagles are going to need to have their best game of the year if you know if they have any chance of blowing off this upset.
When you look at the Eagles defensively, I'm just sort of curious. Are they a team, because you sort of mentioned it there, they're confident in what they do. Do you think Jim Schwartz will make like adjustments that are specific to the Patriots in Super Bowl 52? Or are the Eagles more sort of, this is what we do and we're just going to do it better than you, sort of like a Seattle-style defense? And I ask that because traditionally the Patriots seem to do well against and figure out the teams that just do what they do and say, we're just going to do it better than you. The Patriots find a counter for that versus the teams that are willing to play that chess match with them and make the adjustments going along.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably more of the latter in terms of, you know, what their principles are. But I think there's definitely going to be that chess match. I mean, Jim Schwartz got his start in the career from Belichick. He's a really smart defensive coordinator. I mean, a Georgetown grad, studied economics there. Throughout his career, he's had really good defenses, especially this year. You know, it's not an overly complicated defense, but it's a real sound, aggressive one, and they have a lot of smart players. You know, Malcolm Jenkins in his locker has these spiral notebooks with handwritten notes of every quarterback, every offense he's ever faced, and, you know, he's faced the Patriots three times in his career, so he's got a lot of notes on the Patriots. But, you know, what he said is that they're the type of team that in the second quarter you might have to throw all those notes out because they'll do something totally different than what you've seen or make adjustments to your adjustments. So there is going to be a chess match there, but I think the core of that Eagles defense, the overarching philosophy, that won't change. They're going to get pressure with four guys. My guess is they're going to try to be aggressive in their coverages to try to force Brady to hold that ball a little longer so their pass rush gets home.
And when I look at that defense, to me, the weakness is the linebacking core. Jordan Hicks out for the year. Nigel Bradham, I see him on the field a lot. Michael Kendricks on the field a lot. Is that the weakness of that defense?
I would probably say it's the corners. The reality is that...
That's not good against Tom Brady.
They're playing nickel so often that, you know, when they have Bradham and Kendricks, that's certainly passable. And Bradham was playing at a really high level this year. I would say that their corners can be beaten. They're playing better than what I expected going into the year, especially Jalen Mills. He's turned into a really reliable cornerback for them. But, you know, they have been susceptible to double moves this year. I'm curious to see the matchup with Brandon Cooks there. And the Eagles have a really good safety core, and they rely on their safeties quite a bit. But I think that those cornerbacks are probably the weakness, although they did a good job against Julio Jones. They did a good job against Adam Thielen. They did a good job against Stephon Diggs. So there's been a lot of evidence recently that the corners are playing at a high level.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, we'll have more with Zach Berman of the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. We're going to ask Zach how the Eagles are handling the Patriots' mystique. Yes, the Patriots' mystique. That's something Doug Peterson talked about. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. We have great news for you. Season Ticket is going on the road. We'll be at the Super Bowl all next week in Minneapolis. That coverage starts Monday. You don't want to miss that. So make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We're back now with Zach Berman, who covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. I wanted to ask you, Zach, about the Eagles handling the Patriots' mystique, which is something that Doug Peterson talked about. And it's something that I think comes into play with teams knowing that the Patriots with Brady are capable of coming back at any minute. We saw it in Super Bowl 49. We saw it last year in Super Bowl 51. And we saw it in the AFC Championship game. It's this idea that you can kind of get a little spooked and a little nervous, even if you have a lead in the fourth quarter, because you're thinking Tom Brady's on the other side, Bill Belichick's on the other side. And we've seen it countless times here in New England where teams will melt down physically or mentally. So how is Peterson getting his team to look at the Patriots as just another opponent and not the preeminent dynasty in the NFL?
Well, you know, the Eagles talk often about this concept of a faceless opponent. And that's whether they're playing, you know, the Patriots or if they're playing the Broncos when Brock Osweiler's the quarterback. You know, they try not to get caught up in the players or the records. And one thing Doug Peterson said is that if, you know, he said, quote, if I make this all about them, we're in trouble.
Obviously, it's a credit to what the Patriots have done in their careers and their history. And, you know, everybody's trying to win championships like that. But we just got to focus on today.
And so I think that's kind of an emphasis. They're respecting the Patriots, but, I mean, they're not going to go overboard there. And this is a team that looks at their own right. You know, they're 13-3 this year. They were the best team in the NFC. They've reached the Super Bowl. They're loaded with veterans who have Super Bowl experience. And one thing that stood out this year is kind of how confident they are, how no moment's been too big for them. And I don't think the Super Bowl is going to be too big for them in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, you can't play the Patriots and be daunted or intimidated. It's like you're spotting them sort of 3 points right off the bat, and we see it time and time again. So I think one thing that will help the Eagles is that they played them in 2015, the Patriots I'm speaking of, and beat the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. Now, obviously, that's a different team with a different coach and Chip Kelly, but do you think that that's something that some of the guys who were on that team, like Malcolm Jenkins, who had a big pick six in that game, will lean on?
Yeah, I think some of the guys who were there, that could help. Now, that being said, the Patriots did not have Rob Gronkowski that day. You know, I think it could be a different game, obviously, if Gronk's on the field. And it's a different Patriots team, too.
Yeah, you mentioned Rob Gronkowski, Zach. I wanted to get to that. Obviously, the situation here is being monitored with the concussion he suffered in the AFC Championship game. Hasn't practiced this week. How are the Eagles looking at that? Are they saying, okay, Rob Gronkowski is going to play in this game, we have to prepare for him? And how do you think they'll try and cover Rob Gronkowski? And I guess the third part of the question would really be, how have they fared against tight ends in general this year?
Yeah, my guess is that you'll see Malcolm Jenkins on him. He spends a lot of time against tight ends. He's done a good job for the most part this year. You know, they can mix it up, but I think they're going to see Jenkins against Gronk. That's a big matchup. Like most teams that play against Gronk, I don't think it's going to be just one guy. But that's going to be a huge matchup because, I mean, Jenkins is the most versatile player on that Eagles defense. And if he's kind of tied up with Gronk, it takes away some of the other stuff he does, especially helping against the run. So I'm real curious to see about that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, too, to see how they try and defend Gronkowski. We're all assuming he's going to play because I think the thing about Gronkowski is that even when he's covered, he's not. He's one of those players. And the Eagles had to deal with one of those guys already in Julio Jones, where the quarterback will just throw it up when you would normally look at the reads and go through your progressions and say, okay, that option's not available. But with a guy like Rob Gronkowski, Brady will look at it and say, okay, he's covered, but he's also much bigger than that guy, and I just have confidence in him to go up and get it. Obviously, a huge size difference. And what's interesting to me is the Patriots are the number one offense in the NFL, and they've done that this year without Julian Edelman, but it's been a different type of offense. They've definitely had to adjust. The offense, I think, has been a little more vertical at times, and that's the Brandon Cooks influence. And against a great pass rush, Edelman's ability to get open in a phone booth, to get open so quickly, that's like a safety valve for Brady. And if you don't have that and you have to hold on to the ball longer to try and get it to Cooks or to try and get it to Amendola, who might not uncover as quickly, that plays into the hands of a defense like the Eagles.
Yeah, and it's huge. It's what we spoke about before. You know, I really think the Eagles are going to try to force Brady to hold that ball a little longer. And, I mean, they're going to rely on that pass rush. We can talk about the matchups in terms of the coverage all we want, but the Eagles trust that pass rush, and they are hoping, they're thinking that's going to be the difference.
Offensively, what are the matchups that the Eagles like against the Patriots? You know, when you look at the Patriots' defense, where do you think the Eagles can take advantage? The Eagles tied the Patriots 28.6 points per game. You know, technically the Patriots scored one more point, but when you average it out, the teams basically scored the same amount of points this year offensively. But the Eagles are not a team that really seems to rely on one guy. I was a little surprised to find out that Zach Ertz leads the team in receiving yards. So what are the matchups that you think work for Philly going against that Patriots defense?
I think it's going to start with the run. They're going to try to establish the run. Jay Ajayi is going to be a big part of that. You know, Blunt, especially down near the goal line. And then when you look, they spread the ball out. One thing you're going to see a lot of from the Eagles is Zach Ertz in the middle of the field, a Pro Bowl tight end. Nelson Agholor has been a huge, huge player for them this year out of the slot. He's that versatile weapon that they try to use in different ways. They'll try to get him in favorable matchups. They trust Alshon Jeffrey as, the big physical number one receiver for them, and Torrey Smith's the deep threat. So, they have a lot of different types of receivers. That was a goal for them going into the year, that, they can attack you in different ways, short, intermediate, deep, and they've done that this whole year.
I think one of the big matchups on that side of the ball will be Patrick Chung versus Zach Ertz. I think that's a great matchup because Patrick Chung plays much the same way that Malcolm Jenkins does for the Eagles. He's kind of a wild card. He's a safety, but he plays a lot in the box. He can stop the run. He matches up with tight ends. Sometimes they'll even use him as a slot cornerback there. He'll play with the Patriots called the star position at times. And I think that's going to be a huge matchup in this game. And that's one that I think the Patriots, to be honest with you, Zach, probably feel pretty confident about. And if they can take away Ertz and take away the running game, that was something Jacksonville wanted to come in here and do, then I think you're putting a lot more pressure on Nick Foles to deliver. And that's ultimately the way I think the Patriots want to go. They're going to look at Nick Foles and say, okay, you need to beat us, and here's how you need to do it. We're not going to give up big plays like the Minnesota Vikings did. We're going to make you march down the field methodically four or five times and string together these 7-8 play drives. Is that something that this Eagles offense is capable of doing in its current configuration?
Yes, they're absolutely capable of doing that. And frankly, going into the Minnesota game last week, one of the things they were emphasizing was that they needed more big plays, that they were relying on those long drives. Last week against the Vikings, who were, the best third down defense in the NFL in over two decades, the Eagles won 10 of 14. And the same way Patrick Chung is being talked about in terms of covering tight ends, the Eagles heard that going into the Vikings game about Harrison Smith, who's a first-team All-Pro, and you saw the type of game that Zach Ertz had. He's a very good route runner. I think they're going to rely on that against the Patriots.
Let me ask you this as non-football question, but just sort of about Philadelphia and the fans. How excited is the city of Philadelphia about this Super Bowl, and are they looking at it fatalistically, okay, we've played in the Super Bowl before. We've never won a Super Bowl. We lost to the Patriots in Super Bowl 39. Or are fans looking at and saying, you know what, we think we can get the Patriots this time?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there's a lot of excitement in Philadelphia, as you would imagine. This is kind of an annual occurrence in New England. Not so much here. It's been 13 years. It's actually been since that Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl in 2005, January 2005. You can probably imagine what it's like in Philadelphia. And there is confidence, like most fans have. But I think, when you kind of add some pragmatism to it, you realize that there's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on the other side. There's a reason why the Patriots have those five Super Bowls. It's not by luck, and you've seen this movie before. There's the Patriots are who they are for a reason. So I think that there is a lot of excitement. There's a lot of optimism, but it probably should be tempered a bit, although I don't want to tell them that. They're having their fun as they deserve to have, but it's certainly an energetic, enthused fan base right now.
And do Philly fans get a bad rap? Because I you see these stories nationally, and I think, we've probably seen a couple here in Boston, honestly, sort of about the vitriol that can come from the Philadelphia fan. Is that overstated, or is that actually the case? And do you feel that as a writer? Do they let you know how they feel?
Well, to the first part of the question, I think it's overstated. I think you can create a caricature at times. You can probably find that caricature in a lot of fan bases. Certainly, there have been examples in Philadelphia that have been used often, but when you have a crowd of of, I mean, nearly 70,000 people and then millions kind of watching at home, the odds are that there's going to be a few there that probably do some things that don't reflect well on the whole, but they care more than can be articulated. To the second part of the question, as a reporter, yeah, you hear that, you get a lot of it, but I mean, the reality is that, you know, I've written now in the DC market, the New York market, the Philly market, and I kind of like I like that passion from the Philly market in that there's not many alternatives. You know, I mean, you know, in Washington, there's obviously so much going on outside of football, and in New York, there's so many teams. You know, that if, you know, I covered the Giants there when the Jets were rolling, and a lot of the attention was going to the Jets. In Philly, there's interest in the Eagles every single day of the year, and there's never been a day covering this beat for 6 years where I felt the fans were apathetic.
Yeah, well, we'll let you go on that, Zach. We certainly appreciate the time and the information on the Eagles, and we'll see you out at Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. That is Zach Berman, Eagles beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. Zach, thanks for joining us here on Season Ticket.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Well, it's Friday, so we're going to thank the folks who make this podcast possible. Season Ticket is produced by Steve Safran, Josh Schwartz, Scott Thurston, Joe Sullivan, John Parati, Paul Vikas, Jessica Alpert, Matt Reed, and our intern, Brendan Coughlin. I'm Chris Gasper. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday from Minneapolis in Super Bowl 52.